stars. This world's so small within my master's house. Mistress, you're just a portion of his yard. How big is God? How big and wide his vast domain? To try to tell, these lips can only start. He's big. Winter's chill may cause a tiny seed to fall, to lie asleep till raised by summer's rain. A heart grown cold will warm and throb with life anew. The master's touch can bring domain. To try to tell, these lips can only start. He's big enough to rule the mighty universe, yet small enough to live within my heart. It's
amen. Thank you, Rita. I appreciate that. Would you please stand with me this morning, if you would, out of respect for the Word of God as we read the Scripture together this morning? I invite your attention this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 15, and we'll begin to read in verse number 1. If you do not have a copy of the Word of God with you, please use, there's a copy under the seat in front of you, please use it. And we just ask that you put it back in its rightful place when you're finished with it this morning. The title of my message this morning is Non-Disposables. Non-Disposables. Luke chapter 15, beginning to read in verse number 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he cometh together, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Would you pray with me, please, as we continue in an attitude of worship this morning? Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we just ask, Lord, that you would have your will and way in this service. I just yield myself to the Holy Spirit this morning, and I ask, Lord, that he would fill me, Lord, that he would use me, that he would speak through me to the hearts and lives of the people that are here. Dear God, for those who might not know Christ, I pray, dear God, that this morning would be the time when they accept Jesus Christ into their heart. Because like the testimony that was given this morning just a few minutes ago, we don't know when we'll leave this earth, and so we must be prepared. Help us, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would be with those of us who know you as Lord and Savior. Dear God, that we would take seriously our responsibility to win the lost world. We ask this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you very much, and be seated if you would please. Once again, welcome to the service. We are certainly glad that you are here today, and we hope that we can be a blessing to you. Just a few notes as we look through the scripture here. You see that the public, when Jesus was upon this earth, common men were attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ. That irritated some of the higher echelon of religiosity of that day. They did not appreciate the fact that Jesus would speak or hang around or have dinner with publicans and sinners. They became irate over this. And Jesus, knowing their hearts, gave them a parable. Notice what he says in verse number 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Understand today that God's greatest desire this morning is to reach the lost, to reach all those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That is the heartbeat of Almighty God. In one word, I can sum it up: missions. Missions. God is interested in the lost. God is interested in seeking and saving all those who have gone astray, those who have never trusted His Son as their Lord and Savior. And so Jesus speaks to them in a way that they can understand. These men are interested in their possessions. Many of them would be shepherds or would tend sheep and that type of thing. So he speaks on a level that they can understand. And so he tells them a story or an illustration dealing with a lost sheep. And he says, when he hath found it, in verse number 5, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. What a wonderful picture of salvation this morning as Jesus reaches out to a lost and dying world, and all those lost sheep that he finds, he puts them on his shoulders. He bears their burdens. Understand this morning, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he has taken your need of salvation. He has taken that greatest need that you have facing eternity, and he has placed it on his shoulders. Your salvation rests on Jesus Christ this morning. It doesn't rest on you, thank God. Aren't you glad of that today? It doesn't rest on, you know, your qualifications, how you live your life, any of those things. And I'm not discounting the fact that we ought to live the very best life that we should. But we have to understand, we do not earn our salvation and we will not keep our salvation. We rest firmly on the shoulders of Jesus Christ today. He is carrying our burden of sin. He has placed that upon himself, and he carries it rejoicing because you have responded in salvation. Verse 6 says, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. There is no greater thrill in the world than to be somewhere where a person has placed their trust in Jesus Christ. That is a wonderful time of rejoicing. He says in verse number 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Well, let me tell you something this morning. That person doesn't exist. There is only one who is just, and that is Jesus Christ. There is only one who never sinned, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. What he literally talking about here, what he is speaking about, is self-righteous people who think they do not need Jesus, who think that they can get to heaven on their own, who think they can get there on their own merit, who think, and really, you know, there's a lot of people in this world who do not identify themselves as sinners. They just don't see themselves as sinners at all. That person is lost. That person is without truth in their life, and they need the truth of the gospel. They need to hear of their lost condition so that they can come to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. This morning, the title of the message is Non-Disposables. We're living in a day and an age when everything is disposable. We have disposable cups, disposable plates, and disposable forks, and disposable knives, and disposable tablecloths, and disposable razors, and disposable cameras. And unfortunately, we live in an era where we sometimes have disposable children, disposable in the sense that they're just thrown away. And so we have to be careful this morning. We live in a day when we have disposable children, disposable parents, disposable family members and friends, and people in general. Oh my. When you buy something that is disposable, you usually end up throwing it away when you're done with it. And sometimes people, even in the church, will throw away friendships and marriages. The Bible tells us this morning that there's no such thing as disposable people. People are non-disposable. Webster's defines the word disposable. This is the definition: designed to be disposed of after use. And let me tell you, that is the thought and the intent of Satan. His intent is to dispose of us when he is done with us. Throw us away. Discard us. But that is not the heart of Almighty God. That is not the heart of Jesus Christ this morning. God did not make people to be disposable. Look at verse number 7, if you would please. Notice what it says unto you. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 90 just persons which need no repentance. Well, I want to tell you this morning, I need repentance. Every person in this room this morning needs repentance. We need Jesus Christ, whether we're aware of it or not. And so as we look at the scripture this morning, we understand that God never created anybody to just simply dispose of them. God wants everyone to be saved. Understand that today. God wants every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that's ever existed to be saved, to be born again of the Spirit of God. Turn, if you would, with me, please, to the Gospel of John this morning, chapter 3, and we'll plug in at verse number 16, a very familiar verse. John records for us the words of Jesus, and this is what he says: For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that verse is familiar, but I want to read with you a few more verses from the text that are not quite so familiar. Verse 17, For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world or to judge the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. S-A-V-E-D, saved. That is what God wants for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, is to be saved, to be born again of the Spirit of God. He continues on to say in verse number 18, He, you and I, that believeth on him, Jesus Christ, is not condemned. Aren't you glad of that this morning? Paul said that because you know Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We must receive him. We must accept him as our Lord and Savior. Notice what else he goes on to say. But he that believeth not is condemned already. So understand what Jesus is saying this morning. A person who is unsaved is not going to be condemned in the future. He is already condemned. He is condemned to a Christless eternity without Jesus Christ because he has not believed on the only Son of the Lord God. Goes on to say, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And the simple reality is, men, women, boys, and girls today would rather hold on to their sin than to embrace Jesus Christ. They would rather continue in their sin than to reach out and to let the light of God come into their hearts and into their lives. And that is the need of men and women today, is to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Verse number 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or they should be exposed. Not to man, but to Almighty God. Let me tell you this morning, God already knows. God already knows all about you. He knows your past. He knows that everything that we've ever committed. He just wants us to admit it. He wants us to own it before him and to repent of our sins and to turn it to him in simple childlike faith. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be manifest, that they are wrought in God. They might be forgiven. And that's the only way to be forgiven, is through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we have to understand this morning, God wants every person to be born again. God does not think of you as disposable. God wants to save you this morning. God wants us to be saved. Let's think about some individuals this morning that God wants to save. God wants parents to love their children this morning. God wants parents to love their children enough to show them the way, to show them that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God wants parents to model Christianity in the home so that our children will know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is the answer to salvation, that he is the one that can forgive sin. So God wants parents to set the example to show others that they need to be saved. Next, God wants children that are saved to love their unsaved parents. Do you understand today, as God gave the Great Commission in the Gospel of Matthew? In fact, let's turn to it for just a moment, the 28th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Let's see the words of Jesus as he's speaking to his church before he leaves this earth. Jesus is speaking in verse number 18, and it says, Jesus came, and he spake unto them. Who is them? That is the disciples, that is the followers of Jesus Christ. It is the church. Notice what he says. He spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Where does the power come from? It comes from the Heavenly Father. He has endowed Jesus Christ with all power and with all authority because he is the one who went to the cross, who died for the sins of the world so that they might have eternal life. This is what he says. Having all power, he says, go ye, the church, go ye, therefore, and teach all nations. Well, what are we supposed to teach? Are we supposed to teach geography? Are we supposed to teach history? Are we supposed to teach mathematics? No, we're to teach that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Jewish Messiah. He is the one who was predicted to come to this earth to take away the sin of the world. How do I know that? I know it by the second command of the Great Commission. You see it in the next verse, or the next part of the verse. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The people who are being taught are responding to the preaching of the gospel. They are repenting of their sins. They are placing their hope in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so the first thing that they are to do after they are born again of the Spirit of God is to be scripturally baptized. The church is told, win people to Jesus. I like to say it this way. There's three W's in these verses here. We already talked about the first one, win them. The second one is wet them, baptize them, put them under the water. They are standing and giving testimony that they've trusted Jesus as the Lord and Savior. They're being baptized by immersion scripturally. And then the next thing here, they're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And here's his promise. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The third W is wean them. Win them, wet them, wean them. What does that mean? It means teach them to do the very same thing. Go into all the world, teach the gospel. When the people are converted, baptize them, and then train them to continue the work of the Great Commission, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, parents, love your children enough to teach them the gospel. Children who come to Christ before their parents do, children pray for mom and dad that they will get saved. And the reality is that many times the first people to get saved in a home are the children. And those, then it is the responsibility of the children to love their parents enough to pray for their salvation. Next, God wants friends to love their friends. You see, we have a responsibility outside of our four walls of our home. It extends beyond the reach of our home. It extends out into the neighborhood. It extends to our neighbors. It extends to those that we rub shoulders with, our friends, our acquaintances. We have a responsibility to present to them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because they are non-disposable. They need to hear the truth of the Word of God. They need to hear that God loves them. That's why I'm a Christian today, is because somebody cared enough to let me know that Jesus Christ died for my sins. They loved me enough to tell me that I was a sinner. Now, I grew up knowing that Jesus Christ was real. I knew that. I knew that he was the Son of God. But it was not until I was almost 13 years of age that I learned that he died, he took my place, he took my sin so that I don't have to die because of my sin. I don't have to stand in judgment one of these days of my sin because Jesus took those sins on himself at Calvary. I was never taught that Jesus Christ died in my place, that he would forgive me of my sins. And so I needed to hear that. I needed to know that. And so we have that responsibility today to tell others, to tell our children, to tell our parents, to tell our friends, to tell our acquaintances that they are non-disposable. God doesn't just use us and throw us away. God loves us. God provides for us. God takes care of us. And that takes me to my second point of my message this morning. God is in the recycling business. God is the master recycler. How does he do that? Look at verse number 4 of your scripture this morning. There in the Gospel of Luke, the 15th chapter, verse number 4. Notice what Jesus says. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? He spoke to these men on a level that they could understand. There was not a single one of them who would not do that. Why? Because they have invested money, they have invested effort, they have invested time in that lost sheep, and they're going to go find that sheep. They're going to go make sure it's safe. They're going to bring it back to the fold. Why? Because that is their property. And let me help you to understand today that you are God's property. He loves you, and He is going to come after you. He loves you today. He is seeking you today. He wants you to be saved. And notice the shepherd is seeking the lost. He wants to save the lost. He is seeking the lost. And when he finds it, notice that. Some people say, I found God. Really? I didn't know he was lost. I never knew that. I learned something today. No, friend, you didn't find God. God found you. God pursued you because you were lost. You were on your road to hell. You were leading a life that was going to take you to a Christless eternity. And Jesus came and he found you. And he's rejoicing this morning because he has found you. What a wonderful thing this morning. God is in the recycling business. God wants to go after the lost sheep. He loves the lost sheep so much that he'll pay any cost. He'll pay any price. He'll go to any length. He'll go to the ends of the world to find that lost person, even Antarctica. God will go there. And how does he go there? He goes there through you, and he goes there through me, because he commanded us to go into all the world and to teach the gospel, seeking the lost wherever they may be found. If we believe a lost person on the moon, I believe God's going to send somebody to retrieve them. God's going to send somebody to seek the lost, because God cares about you and he cares about me. He is in the recycling business. God wants to restore our relationships, and it starts with him. How do we restore our relationship that was severed in the Garden of Eden? How is that relationship restored? It is restored when we repent of our sin, when we confess our need for him, when we confess to him that we cannot save ourselves, and we invite his son to come into our heart. It starts with Almighty God. We need to recycle this morning. We need parents that are in the recycling business. You remember the story that Jesus told in the New Testament about the prodigal son? You know, remember how the prodigal came to him and he asked for his inheritance early? And he went off to a far country and he spent his inheritance wickedly. He spent it with loose women, with drunkards. And I mean, he just went through his inheritance. He had what he thought was fun. And then one day he came to himself because he was broke. And he found out that those friends that he thought were friends were not friends after all. Because he wasn't their friend, his money was. So they dropped him. And he found himself out in the pig pen eating with the pigs. And he came to himself. And he began to think, my servants in the Father's house eat better than I do. They sleep in a finer place than I sleep. And I'm here in the pig pen. It's a picture of the world. And he says, I'm going to go to the Father. And I'm going to tell the Father, I'm sorry. Make me one of your hired servants. I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. And what was the response when he went to the Father? You see, the Father had been praying and the Father had been waiting. And he saw him afar off. Here comes the Son. And he sends a servant to tell him to come home. Oh, let me tell you something. God sent a servant, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he wants to welcome the prodigal home. He wants to put a ring on your finger. He wants to throw a party. He wants to rejoice. God is in the recycling business today. He wants to restore those relationships, those difficult relationships. First with himself, the parent with the children. He wants the children to forgive the parents. Children. Children. I don't think I've ever met a teenager who didn't think they had everything figured out. I mean, they knew the beginning from the end. But you know what I found out as a teenager? The older I got, the less I knew that I thought I knew. How many of you sitting in this room this morning that were children, and then you find yourself realizing, I've become my parents? Is that not an eye-opener? Those people that I hated so much, I become just like them. God wants the parents to be like the father of the prodigal and welcome the prodigal home. God wants the children to forgive the parents. God wants friends to forgive friends. It's amazing sometimes what small things will drive division between friends, between neighbors. Sometimes I'm gonna just confess part of my carnality this morning. The show, the movie, I had the title and now it's gone. Grumpy Old Men. I love that. Grumpy Old Men 2. Can you not see yourself? People who lose relationships with friends over the years over sometimes the silliest things. The silliest things. God is in the recycling business. There is no one that God considers to be disposable. No one that he does not need. No one that he does not care for. And boy, this is the one that really comes home. God wants to restore relationships between church members. Matthew, go to the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And I want to begin to read in verse number 15. Matthew, the 18th chapter. And plug in at verse number 15. Notice what Jesus says, beginning in verse number 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, he's talking about church members, okay? If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Jesus is instructing us how to deal with situations within the body of Christ, how to deal with those scripturally. Because it's inevitable that in a church setting, that sooner or later, your Christian brother, your Christian sister is going to rub you the wrong way. It's going to happen. They may do something that, you know, maybe it's sinful. And it's an offense. And so Jesus says, go to that person privately. Don't make a big deal out of it. openly in an open forum. Go to that brother. Speak privately to that person. And if that brother hears you, that means they're going to respond, they're going to repent, you're going to get back together. Then you've gained a brother. But, he goes on to say, verse 16, but if he will not hear thee, then take one or two more that is in that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So if this brother, this sister in Christ, will not cooperate, will not repent, then you take witnesses from the ministry, go to that one, and pursue it further. Now, notice what it says. Verse 17, and if he shall neglect to hear them, the next step is take it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Basically, treat the individual as a believer or an unbeliever. Put them out of the church. This is scriptural. This is difficult. Very, very difficult. Many years ago, another ministry here in town, there was an individual in the church who seemed to delight in running other Christians away from the ministry. Just a very carnal attitude. I felt the Lord wanted me to do something about that. I spent time in prayer, went first to the pastor, discussed it with the pastor. He gave me the okay to speak to the gentleman. We spoke privately. It seemed to get better for some period of time. But as time went on, he just kind of slipped back into the same old way. A couple of years went along, and so I took it to the deacons. The deacons and I met with this gentleman, gave him opportunity, and we didn't really feel like he responded like he should, so we took it to the church. That man openly repented, and we gained a brother. That's scriptural. That's scriptural. So God wants relationships restored, first with himself, parents with children, children with parents, friends with friends, neighbors with neighbors, church members with church members. The last thing I want you to see is in verse number 6. Go back with me, if you would please, to the Gospel of Luke in verse number 6. Notice the outcome. Verse number 6. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Do you see the outcome? The outcome is rejoicing. The outcome is celebration. Many times a lost person, Satan will whisper in their ear, if you go forward in the invitation, everybody's going to know you're a sinner. Hello? We're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're just simply admitting to God what he already knows. You're owning up to your sin. The result is rejoicing. The result is celebration. Celebration. God wants us to rejoice when a sinner comes to repentance. And the worst thing that could ever happen when that happens is for some self-righteous, pious, holier-than-thou individual to take the attitude of the elder brother. Remember when the prodigal came home? The elder brother was bent out of shape. No. That should not be our response. Our response should be acceptance. Our response should be forgiveness, because a lost sinner has come home. They have gotten right with Almighty God. So our response ought to be rejoicing. Response ought to be a time of celebration. Because, beloved, Jesus takes that sinner, places that sinner on his shoulders, carries that sinner eventually, ultimately, to his Father in heaven, safe and secure in God's presence. Let me help you to understand something this morning. When you repent of your sins, you're saved eternally, forever and forever and forever and forever. You are safe and secure, and he will carry you on his shoulders all the way to heaven. He's going to lead us home to victory and celebration one of these days in the presence of the Father. Dear God, help us today. Help us to understand, Lord, that with you, there's nobody who's disposable. You want to seek and to save that which was lost. You will save whosoever will. Whosoever will trust you, you will save that individual today. Help us, oh God. Restore relationships today. Restore relationships with parents and children. Restore relationships with friends, with relatives, with church members, so that we might walk freely, that we might walk with the right spirit, with the right attitude. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake.